Welcome back to another episode of Camp Time is Real Time. I'm your host, Sarah Labreck. Guys, big housekeeping news before we get into this. We have a date for the 50th reunion, August 5th, inside the Elks. We have a date, so put it in your calendars. You can also follow along at facebook.com/Franklin Country Day. There are some details up there, so put it in your calendar, August 5th, inside the Elks. And then, as always, give me an email, camptimefcdc@gmail.com. Follow us, camptime_realtime on Instagram. Guys, we're coming close to the camp season, so get your talks in now. Everyone wants to hear from you, I promise. Coming up today, it is Corey Burns and John Crowley. So these guys were counselors right at the turn of the century. John was there for 3 years, 98 through 2000. And Corey started as a camper, I think we figured out like 1987-ish. And then he went through until 2000 as well. Really great catching up with these guys. As a surprise, Bill joined the Zoom like a minute in. And you will hear the reaction. And I got to tell you guys, the magic is still there when you see your idols that you looked up to at camp. It was really, really cool having Bill come on. And, you know, like us as campers looking up to him. But he also remembered a lot of the stuff that we were talking about, which is just, like, if nothing else, it's validating. So this was really, really fun. I hope you'll enjoy it. And that's it. Bye.
What an amazing place, you know? And I can't remember, my memory is so foggy.
It's great.
I can't remember like when my last stint as head counselor was. I wish I could remember. It was at some point in college, because I know I didn't come back like the summer between junior and senior year of college. So I'm guessing my last stint as head counselor was the summer after sophomore year of college, which would have been 2000.
Oh, okay. Because I bet Katie could help us figure that out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I was texting her like all day today, like, help me remember, because I don't remember. Like, yeah. Who are our friends? All I remember is you. Like, I remember a lot of other people that are, like, you know, in our tribe, like, who the heck was in it? And I know it was, like, you know, me and Katie Bell, although she said that at one point she, like, got bumped up to the Explorers and I was still in the Mohicans or something like that.
Ooh,
and
ouch.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I must have been really upset about that. Like, you were my person.
Yeah,
just wild, you know, to like think back after all these years, 25 years.
First time caller, long time fan. I think the series is awesome. And the Bill Tanner one, I never wanted it to end. Like, bring Bill Tanner back every week.
Oh, we did it!
Yeah. Oh, gentlemen.
I thought you might like that, guys.
You're gonna be kidding me.
Look at how handsome they are. I knew that they could grow up that handsome. I knew it.
Guy, we're the legends.
How are we doing, guys? How's the talk going so far?
Good. I was just rambling on and on, getting emo about, like, you know, not thinking about camp for 20 years. And then all of a sudden I think about how, like, throughout the past 20 years, it's like influenced so much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Job interviews, I'd be like, you know, what's a challenging time? Well, I had these like group of 12 6-year-olds that I had to teach ceramics to, you know, and everything blew up in the kiln and like I had to figure it out, you know. So it's like these, right, like, you know, these like tiny little moments as either a camper or a counselor that, like, you know, influence you know in totally unexpected ways. So
I think that's been a narrative here overall in all of her talks with everybody, is how much it's affected who they became.
Yeah, tonight after dinner I was like building an outdoor shower, like literally like putting wood together, and I was thinking of Sue Rice, you know. It's like she'd be so proud of me.
John, with you, you came, how did you come to camp actually?
It's Corey, it's actually, it's a very funny story. It was 4th of July. It might've been like July 3rd or July 4th or something like that. I maybe was a junior in high school, summer going into senior in high school. And, you know, I think Corey called me and he's like, do you want to work at camp? I was like, what? You know? And he's like, I forget the context of the conversation, but all I know is an hour later, I was on the phone with some guy named Tom. And Tom basically asked me like three questions. It might've been like, have you ever been arrested? Do you like kids? Can you start on Monday? And I was like, sure. And so that was it. And so, you know, I mean, Corey must have had like amazing standing with Tom because, you know, from everything I hear, like Tom is someone who like truly vets people hardcore. Yeah. And, you know, like we'd never met. When I stepped foot on that camp, I'd never been a camper. So when I stepped foot on camp property for the first time, I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything, like tribe names. Like I had no idea. And like, everyone is so steeped in this history, in this culture here. In a weird way, I wouldn't say I never felt like the odd man out, because camp is such a special and inclusive place. But I could tell, like, I don't know, like people are getting hit in the face with pies, like at flagpole, like what the hell is going on here?
Sure. Yeah, normal stuff. Yeah.
But yeah, that was sort of, Corey got me the gig, and I mean, I feel incredibly, incredibly lucky. It was that job at camp. I say this today, it's the best job I've ever had in my entire life. I had it for 3 summers. And you know, 1 year in junior camp, 2 in video, 1 with the legend here. The camp years for me changed my trajectory, changed my career and what I ended up doing.
Oh, how so? Because I forgot that you weren't, I just assumed you were in video all 3 years.
Oh no, I started in junior camp. I mean, listen, when you need someone to be a counselor, like last minute, you throw them in junior camp, you throw them in video.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not like a newbie coming into archery or adventure. You're not getting your first pick.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, you're junior camp.
I got junior camp and I was with, I don't remember her name. I think her name might've been Christine. She's like brown, curly hair. Bill, you remember?
I don't remember, but I do remember you in junior camp. I do remember, like, who's this guy? In junior camp.
Yeah.
No, because nobody was ever, you know, back then it was always women in the junior camp counselors, and then all of a sudden there was this guy there, and it was odd, you know. But you were the fill, well, you know.
Well, to make it equally odd is that Tom, I remember when I first started, Tom's like, hey, you know, like I think within a week, like he knew like I wasn't a bad apple, and he's like, hey, listen, he's like, really appreciate you coming and starting last minute, and he was like, you know, just do 3 weeks in junior camp, and I'll get you out. And I was like, what? You know, and after the 3 weeks, he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I'll stay in junior camp with Christine. He's like, you're joking, right? And I was like, no, I'm like, Christine, I think her name was Christine. She was super cool. And he's like, you want to stay in junior camp? I was like, yeah. So I stayed in junior camp for all 6 weeks.
Whoa.
I wish I could remember the context in which, you know, Tom, you know, put the word out, like, we need somebody, you know. I don't remember how it went down. I really wish I recall, like, you know, did I step forward and be like, I got the guy for you, you know? I can't remember how that all went down, but I, you know, I do remember, like, I do remember him being concerned because it was such a tight timeline, but I do remember like talking to him and being like, yeah, I got a buddy, you know, John.
Well, your sister was there too. Like, oh, yeah, he was right there.
True. Yeah, true. But I was like, you know, I got this buddy, super funny, super creative, you know, larger than life. Like, I think he's a good fit. Like, I get camp. I get that you have to be a little off and fun and spontaneous. And I was like, I think I got the guy. And John was from one of the towns that started with M. So, like, yeah, you know, pretty much if you were Millis, Medfield, Medway, you were in. Like,
yeah,
you're in.
Yeah, like there's a vibe then. So.
Yeah. Well, it helped also. I always like the Katie Bell connection too, because Like when I remember, like when I went to get a job at Great Woods, like everyone else did, I just said Katie Bell and they're like, oh, we're done here. It's like, sure. Like, when do you want to start? So after junior camp, after you inexplicably did 6 weeks at junior camp, that's awesome. Then the next year, did you ask Tom, were you like, hey, I have like, I'm like pretty good at this. Can I do video? Or like, how did you get to video?
Oh, I had no video experience.
Oh, like, really?
No, Tom asked me, he's like, hey, you know, I don't know if there was a shakeup. I don't know, Bill, you would know if there was like, if somebody left or something, yeah, but there was, well,
Tommy had left 2 years earlier and it was Craig and I did a year together, yeah, and neither one of us knew how to use the editing equipment, you know, and it really didn't go all that well. So I think maybe he recognized in John an eagerness to learn more about the editing equipment, or you had no experience with it.
I mean, maybe I might have purchased like a Hi8 camera, like, yeah, that my first, like maybe a year before that, but like I had never cut it, right, at all. And well, so I think
what it was is that maybe he saw in John somebody that would figure it out a little better than we had. And
Bill, I gotta stop you there. Your videos were genius, man.
Like, no.
Do not sell yourself short here.
No, like, I'm not. With the stuff with Tommy, you know, it all worked really well. But again, the editing aspect of it always fell on him.
Oh, I see.
And yeah, you know, I was there and I was putting creative ideas into what he was doing, but he was doing all of the editing work.
Gotcha.
And I never bothered to learn any of it. And then when he wasn't coming back, they put Craig and I together. Craig had no idea of it. I didn't either. And we kind of mishmashed stuff together. Now, when it came, yeah, to John, I think Tom probably recognized in John somebody that would take the time to learn it better. And he did. I will say that. Well, I mean, John came in and really started messing around with it and did want to learn it, if you remember.
Well, I'll tell you what was funny. What was funny was, like, because I mean, I had no experience doing this, but like, obviously, like, I was excited to help out. Mm-hmm. So I was, you know, I was Bill's assistant. And I remember it's like the first time that the door to the video editing room opens and it's like, you don't know what to expect, you know? And I'm like, the door opens and it's like two dusty VHS, like players and like Dorito bags on the floor. And I'm like, what is this?
There was a chest in the corner with all the costumes.
It was, oh, so yeah, terrible. Yeah, and they all smelled all musty. And when was the last time these things were washed, right? And it built like, put on that gorilla suit. but like from a hardware perspective, it's like you had two VHS players, and there was like this, I don't even know what to call it. It was like this massive keyboard that was like used for putting up, I think at the time you would call them chyrons, like lower thirds, but like that had maybe like four colors and like one font, and yeah, we would sit here and it would be like play on one VHS tape, record on the other, and it'd be like hit the star wipe button. It was like, so like, now you look at it, the technology was so antiquated. I, when I look at the old videos, Bill, I don't know how the hell you guys were able to produce. Like,
well, we didn't do that there. That's the thing, is that Tommy worked at Cable 8 in Medfield.
Oh, which
was a local station there. So what we would do is we would film all day at camp and then edit at Cable 8 in Medfield. So that's why. So when he didn't come back and Gail bought all this new editing equipment, at the time that stuff was new, I guess. I don't know. And we and Craig and I were just put together and tried to mishmash and tried to figure it out. We couldn't really figure it out. It wasn't until you came along that it got figured out. That 98 master tape was good. You know, you and I had a good season that year, a good summer. If you have a copy of that, I would love to see it. I don't know if you do.
I know I have a copy of the 99 because I had my hands on it about 3 hours ago.
Jay, this ended up being your major at Syracuse, right? So
yeah.
Is this,
yeah, totally.
Is this why?
Yeah, and this is where like I'll get all sentimental. But like, Bill, I don't think that you realize how much of an influence you were on me. Like, you know, that year we had together, you know, it's not like we were dating, the year where we were counselors together, like like to watch, you know, how creative you were and to be, you know, just to screw around and to turn all this raw just ideas into something that made people smile, that like literally like produced this emotion from people on Fridays when they packed the barn. I was like, I felt it. And I was like, oh my God, like that was like a drug to me. And so when I became the head video counselor the next year with Greg, you know, I was like, I'm gonna take this as serious as I can. And I went out and I bought a G3 Mac tower. I mean, back when they made these massive, Apple made these massive machines, and I bought a video editing card. And this is when I was like, you would take tape and you would run it from composite cables into a video editing card and you would digitize the stuff. And we were cutting on Adobe Premiere. And I guess like long story short, like making those videos and the joy I got from that was like, I want to make this a career. And which is why I went to Newhouse and why I worked in TV and why I worked at NBC. And Bill, I don't know if you know this, but like, I started a digital studio that I ran for 3 years that was part of Fox Television Studios. And like you know, I had a company and I had employees, and I would have never, ever done any of this had I not met you and had you not made me put on a gorilla suit and run through the camp pieing people. And I'm grateful for it. I really am.
That's amazing to hear. It really is. I did know a little bit of what you were up to. When we connected on Facebook, you had mentioned a little bit of what you were up to, you know, and that you had owned your own company for a short while. That's, you know, that is awesome. Cause I didn't go that direction. You know, I wish that I had, you know, cause I still get a lot of crazy ideas and things like that, that I feel like I'm gypping myself sometimes on them because they just live in my head, you know,
but you gotta get them out somewhere.
A couple of years ago when Sam took over, I had this idea. I had worked out this pretty good Trump impression, and I was going to go in there. And I was like, Sam, what I should do is I'll come in and I'll challenge you for the running of the camp. You know, I'll be Donald Danner. You know, it's going to take someone of tremendous energy to run this camp. Okay. And Sam can't do it. He's a loser. Okay. I remember, we're going to build a wall around this entire FCDC place. Okay. And the YMCA is going to pay for it. but John, no, that's awesome. It really is. I love to hear that, and I'm honored that.
Yeah,
that's
for sure. And that's why, like, when you know you were one of Sarah's guests on this podcast, whatever it was, like a few weeks ago or a month ago, and I was listening to this podcast, and I just like had the shittiest grin on my face for like an hour straight, and I was like, this guy's just a legend. I mean, I could listen to this guy forever. It was just, and also Sarah, you're right. Everybody that worked at camp, you cannot listen to the Counting Crows without thinking of Bill.
Right.
I mean, with
no, yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. 100%. There was just
something about video. There was something about the end of the week or the end of the session, everybody cramming into that room, and thankfully, the TV got a little bigger as the years went on, but like, I still remember sitting in the way back and the TV was like this big. And I was like, I didn't see anything. But like, you pack in there and you watch this thing and you wait for the little moments where you as a camper maybe had like a little cameo or something. And then, but like, you guys always tied it together with music and you always got people bawling. And it was just like, and it wasn't cheesy or it wasn't anything. It was like truly like just an amazing, it was an incredible thing to be a part of. And not every activity got to do that. You know what I mean? You guys had this huge impact, you know, where it was like at the end of, you know, a session, it wasn't like everybody was like, let's play dodgeball. Cheers. You know, it was like, no. You guys got to like produce this thing that everybody was a part of for the most part and like really, really, you know, get the waterworks going. It was
each video counselor, you know, teaches the next one kind of, you know, that was my experience. The things that I'm hearing out of you guys, you know, which with what you're saying about my videos is exactly how I felt about Jerry's videos in, you know, Corey, do you remember Jerry?
I do.
Wow. Yeah.
But Jerry and Zeph were doing really funny videos, and I was an explorer, and I was a CIT, and I adored those. I was like, wow, this is so funny. I would love to do that, and blah blah blah. And then I got my chance, you know, just like John watched and got his, you know. So,
but and we talked about too, Bill, how like the camp sense of humor, like that was passed down. We all have like a very similar sense of humor. We're all hilarious, in my opinion, and. And then the videos, well, I didn't think of it at the time. Like that's the only chance you have to make a time capsule of the year. Right. And it didn't occur to me at the time. It's just like, oh, we have a deliverable. That's fine. But now looking back, like we all know Counting Crows. We all can like have like one line from one year of something that, you know, it was captured. So I was talking to Brittany McLeod, and she was telling me about something she remembered from me doing the same NSYNC sketch every single week because I didn't want to do the skits. And she's like, and I remember it because John Crowley made a video and sold it and I was watching it. And I was like, that's it right there. And it's just like, it's all there. And I was like, I didn't remember that, but.
So what happened was with, you know, when you work in video, you have to realize, and Bill can attest to this, you're always getting some sort of feedback and like, whether it's the music or a joke you made. And like, I had to like cut things out or I actually had to put like disclaimers in there. Like, so kids wouldn't go eat glue and stuff, you know? What happened was I had some parents who were coming up and they were like, hey, I heard you make these videos. And I was like, yeah, I'm the video counselor. And they're like, if we gave you a VHS, would you make us a copy? And I was like, yeah, no problem. So I made a copy and that parent told another parent. So a parent was like, hey, I heard you made a copy for so-and-so. Can I grab one? I'm like, yeah, no problem. So I ended up making, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 or 5 as favors. And then Gail pulled me aside one day and she was like, hey, we have to talk. And I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. What am I in trouble for? She's like, I heard you have been giving out copies of the camp videos. And I was like, I have. And she goes, well, she's like, you cannot give them out anymore. I'm like, I totally understand. She's like, you're going to sell them. I was like, what? She goes, you're going to sell them. And she goes, and you're going to sell them for no less than $20. And I was like, okay. All right. And I now I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to be muling videos for her now.
Right.
And she's like, she goes, and you're going to keep all of the money that you make from it. And
what?
She's like, I'm going to help you make flyers. You're going to put them in the kids' backpacks. So the parents get them. She basically taught me a lesson in marketing, like entrepreneurship, and like how to actually take like a creative concept and to monetize it. And so to this day, like that was one of the best business lessons I ever learned. And what happened was we made all the copies of the flyers. We put them in the backpacks. And it was like, you know, obviously like Venmo and PayPal don't exist back then. It's like, if you want a camp video, you know, if you want the memories, you know, send a $20 check. And I put my address in Medway. And like 3 days later, you know, I go home, I open the mailbox and there's a check in there. The next day I go, there's 3 checks in there. Then there's 5 checks in there. And like when you're in high school, you know, and I'm sorry, when you're like summer going into sophomore year, it's like, I don't have a lot of money, you know, I'm working 3 jobs to try to save up for the year. And this money is just pouring in because Gail was like, you're going to sell these things. And so I'm forever grateful for that lesson that she taught me. It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
That is good.
I'm blown away by that.
It's awesome.
That's so unbelievable. Awesome.
Well, I think there was this like this aura of like strictness and like rulemaking from Tom and Gail. Like you knew to not mess, right? But at the same time, I feel like that's an amazing example, but I feel like in a lot of like small ways too, it was like a really like fostering environment where like you'd come up with an idea, pitch it to Tom, and then he'd be like, we'll do it. You know, like make it happen, you know, and like, and that was really awesome of him to have that wherewithal to be like, all right, here's this teachable moment where like this kid has this idea, you know, God knows what it is. It's like, you know, whatever. But I felt like it was that they had that wherewithal of like, and maybe it was because they were educators or whatever, and they had experience with kids and kids coming up with weird ideas and stuff, but It was that kind of environment. I felt like Tom, and I didn't have that experience with Gail. I always just like feared Gail, like to the nth degree. But I definitely caught that from Tom from time to time, where it was like, you know, he wanted to like bring out the best in people, right? Like, you respected Tom. You did not want to screw up with Tom. Right. You respected Gail. You did not want to screw up with Gail. So there was this amazing like combination of like super fun and awesome, but also like I feared Tom like I feared my dad. And those two were on a certain level that no one else was on. Right. And I remember the one time I got in trouble with Tom. And it was like, I remember it was discussed if I was allowed to come back to camp or not. I was a camper.
Oh no.
And this was one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Bill, as like a counselor while I was a camper. I think we were like really a pain in the butt, like me and Matt Fagan, and like, you know, like I think we were in a bad phase. We were like, you know, preteen, like pushing the envelope, trying to be cool, yada yada. But anyway, so I had just watched Kindergarten Cop. And I was coming back from, I think, Pioneering or Woodlore. And I was coming down the trail. And you remember, as soon as you went over the bridge, the trail split wide. I was coming down one Y. I thought we were all alone. And I was telling Matt Fagan about how I watched this movie, Kindergarten Cop, and how there's this line in the movie where it's, boys have, girls have, and I'm screaming it. I'm screaming it at the top of my lungs, walking down the trail. And I'm like, you know, trying to show off for Matt Fagan. Right. Sure enough, I'm still screaming it at the Y, Tom.
Oh, no.
And I die.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm done. Yep. I'm done. Like, I'm screaming, boys have penises, girls have vaginas. At the top of my lungs, there's little children around, you know, I'm an older camper. And like a flood of thoughts of just like, I'm never going to be a counselor. This is it. I'm done. Like, I'm dead. And I remember that afternoon, my dad was going to pick me up, which was abnormal. He was going to pick me up and take me mini golfing. That did not happen. Tom immediately took me back to his office, like scolded me like only a dad could, called my dad. My dad picked me up early. And like, it was in the whole like scheme of my childhood, it was top three, like get in trouble moments. And, you know, I don't know, you know, I would love to know if like, I'm sure it's just burned into my memory, but like, does Tom remember this? You know, like okay. I still have memories of that, you know, like probably not, you know.
In response to your question, Corey, I remember you as a camper, but I remember you always being kind of considered as a cool camper.
Yeah.
But I don't remember you being considered a pain in the ass. I do remember most people thinking that, you know, Corey was a fun, good, a cool camper.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh. It's reassuring. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Now you'll die all over again if you see Tom this summer and he's like, I remember what you said. And like he puts his hand on your shoulder as he says it. Yeah.
Like a real dad moment.
Tom always came from a place of yes.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't come from a place of no.
Yeah.
Right. Like you said, Corey, like whether it's like some little kid being like, I'm going to sing a song about bubblegum. And then it becomes the song of the summer, right?
Yeah.
Or it's a ridiculous sketch. Like, I mean, but think of it. Like Tom was also like the mind behind these ridiculous counselor competitions we had to do. So like Tom's a really creative guy as well. And I think that like he wants to push people to think that way like he does.
Yeah.
Can I ask, Corey, is one of those ideas the reason that there was it a lip sync or a music video that you made? I remember you coming in with guitars one day, you and maybe another kid in your tribe, Matt Fagan.
Matt Fagan was like probably my BFF for a while. Like Katie Bell obviously was like my ride or die throughout the camp years and counselor years. But like Matt Fagan was, you know, a male. So we were like, you know, best friends at camp. And we became pretty quick buddies with Tom Janovitz, whose older brother was
other way.
Bill Janovitz, and also Scott Janovitz.
Oh yeah.
Honestly.
Was Tom in your tribe? Oh,
so sorry. Tom was either in my tribe or the tribe right below, maybe. But Matt knew Tom. And so I don't know how it went down, but we were all talking like, oh, yeah, I want to learn how to play guitar. Wouldn't that be so cool? So we like, you know, Tom obviously had guitars laying around his house because his older brother was like, you know, Buffalo Tom.
Legit band,
front man. And so I convinced my parents to like buy me some crappy electric. And then I remember us all like plotting to like bring it in, bring in our guitars and like heavy pitch. Bill, I don't know if it was you or maybe it was Zeph, like heavy pitch the video guys to like let us have our moment on the Friday video where we're like, we perform and it's like, but not live performance. We just wanted like a video on the Friday video of us like rocking out as like sixth graders, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't remember that. It probably wasn't me. It was probably Zeph, but
probably Zeph, yeah.
Did he let you have it?
Like power chords to Nirvana songs, you know.
So, wait. Corey, did it actually make the video?
I have no idea.
I think it did because I have a memory of seeing this. And there's no way I would. So it exists. Yeah. I think that happened because you guys were the tribes above me. And yeah. I remember seeing the guitars coming in one day and I was like, would you have a look? Like, what's going on over here? And I was like, okay, like maybe that's something that happens when you're a Mohican. And then it was later, it must have been that week's video that I was like, oh, well, tracks. Yeah. So.
And Tom must have remembered that because whenever we lost like the I can't remember who it was, but whoever played guitar at Sing didn't come back one summer. And so Tom like came straight to me and was like, you play guitar, you're doing Sing. And I was like,
yeah.
I became the Sing guy. I can't remember how long that lasted, how long I was up on stage with him, but it might have only been like one session or one summer. But
you were never the music counselor though, right?
No, never. As an assistant, I floated around as they do. I did like, I don't know, the memorable experiences were like archery, boating. Boating was amazing. Yeah. But then I kind of got pigeonholed into ceramics.
Well, why do you say pigeonholes?
I was assistant to Kim.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. That girl, Kim, with the short hair.
Kim, short hair, like, yes. Like maybe not spacer earrings, but like she probably got spacer earrings later on. Yeah. You know, like
she was cool.
That was her style. Yeah, I remember she and I like really, really clicked. And I think I was supposed to actually shift out of ceramics as an assistant, you know, because of the rotation. And I think Kim was like, no, Corey's sticking around. And that it just kind of, I think she only lasted one summer, maybe two, I can't remember. And then I became head of ceramics. And I don't know if I bounced around after that. That's like just my head counselor memories are all with ceramics. I don't know if I did any others, but.
Well, it's usually like whatever opens up or wherever you land is your spot, unless you stay there for like a while and you're like, oh, I'd like to do something else. So I was your assistant for I think it was only a session at that point. We had moved away from the 3-3 and it was a session. Okay. And my number one memory of Corey Burns, aside from the lip sync guitar, is just us listening to Wind of Change by the Scorpions.
Scorpion.
On repeat the whole time. Like, have you guys heard this song? We had the single. And we can
still whistle,
it.
Right? Yeah. Like you can still whistle that riff, right?
100%. And we just play it, be like, it's just such a good song. And like, and the whistling in the background really ties it together. And we just did it. And I think, though I can't be sure, we either did like a Friday skit or something where like it was in the background and we were like, this is a song, the camp's gonna love it, like crowd pleaser. And it's all we did. We talked about the song, we played it. Corey, who else do you remember being in your tribe? Because I remember your tribe kind of being one that, like, I was aware of.
I mean, obviously Katie Bell, obviously Matt Fagan. There was a girl named Tova.
Oh, Tova Corman. I went to high school with her. Yep.
Okay. Stacey Hain was in my tribe. At least I remember it that way.
Yeah.
Because I remember being close with her.
Yeah, but like I mentioned earlier, like when I showed up, I just didn't know anything. I didn't understand it. You know, like you're talking about, like, can you list the tribes in order? I to this day couldn't even name four tribes. Like,
that's so much more of a unique experience than the three of us had.
Yeah.
You know, and I always like hearing from somebody that came in that way.
That's what
You know, like what was their impression? What was going on? Was it hard to break in?
Yeah.
You know, were these clicks that you were intimidated by, maybe? You know?
Yeah, I'm really curious of that too, because when Sarah and I were chatting before everyone else joined, I was like, I called it a cult, a beautiful cult, because it is. It's like this very insular, like, we're together, we're doing our thing. We don't really pay attention to the outside world, you know, when we're doing our thing. And yeah, like, what was it? Was it difficult to, like, break in, or?
No, I don't think so, because, like, again, it's. Well, first of all, I had the good fortune of, you know, being close friends with you and Katie Bell, you know, and my sister having gone there. So, like, I already had, like, a lot of hooks in there. And, like, so it wasn't like I was a complete stranger. The camp is just, it's truly this all inclusive, like, magical place, you know, like, you can be whoever you want, right? You know, you can fly your freak flag, you can say what you want, you can wear what you want, you know, like, people aren't going to judge you, right? And that's what makes, I was thinking about this the other day, the more I kept listening to your podcast and hearing people, like, gush about the camp, I was like, they have a right to, and FCDC had that, like, it was like lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting insight for someone that was there for a relatively short amount of time, you know, to, like, to pick up on that, you know. Because I certainly have that impression where, you know, where you were saying, you know, people were able to be who they wanted to be, dress how they wanted to dress, do whatever they wanted to do. Like, I remember it that way, you know, but obviously as the years have gone on, you know, you start to question your memories. But I think it was that. And I hope it still is.
I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm not there on a day-to-day basis, but I know that my kids really felt comfortable there to do whatever they wanted. And, you know, they didn't ever feel silly wearing a ridiculous outfit for 70s day or whatever the event was, you know, whereas at school they might've balked at something, but camp, no, they go right in. No problem.
It's more of the, it's that, and there is the, when you enter the campgrounds, like, there is an energy there, like whatever you believe in, whatever you like, you're like, wow, it feels awesome here.
Not only is it, like, super special, but it's such a short window of time. Like, I remember I was only a counselor for 3 years, and my third summer going into it, I knew it was the last one I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember going in being like, I have 30 days. That's it.
Yeah.
And like, I was like counting down in my head. And I was sad as I was approaching the end of it,
yeah.
You know, if you think about it, it's like 30 of like the most fun days you'll ever have of the entire summer. And what's amazing is in the moment when you're doing it, you're like, I know I'm going to look back at this experience 40 years from now. Right. And you're trying to, like, just hold on to it as much as you can. And then, like, this, it's gone.
It's gone.
Except for rain days. But on non-rain days, the stables were where it was at. I mean,
come on.
Like, we flew under the radar. I mean, I was head counselor of ceramics. John was at video. It was like, I don't know if it gets better. Like, I don't know. We had good times. No, it was all on the up and up, but it was just like, we knew that no one was watching, and we knew that we could, like, just hang out and chill and have fun and like, you know, I don't know. I just have a lot of memories of like John and I in the stables just being like, you got kids in the room. I got kids in the room. I don't know. You want to sing Oasis? Like, what?
No, you're absolutely right. Actually, there was an advantage. There was certainly advantage to being in the stables.
Yeah.
You were on the outskirts of camp. And I remember having the same experience. You know, the kids would be, you know, in the room waiting for me. And I'd be outside talking to Heather for 15 minutes.
Exactly. So you could get away with it. You could really get away with it. Nobody was like, nobody was watching you.
I have a very distinct memory of just like not wanting to, or not having the energy to deal with anything. And Corey, tell me if you remember this. I didn't want to do video, clearly. You didn't feel like doing ceramics that day. I know I sound like a terrible counselor saying this, but like, 99% of the time we were good counselors. This was like one of those rare moments where like there's nothing in the tank. And do you remember when we pretended to film the like a Pokemon movie? It was called Pokemon Time Warp, where we basically said, all right, Pokemon was all the rage. We're like, we're gonna do this awesome, it's gonna be epic, this Pokemon movie. And the kids were like screaming, freaking out about it. And we were making it up on the spot. We're like, it's going to be about like time travel. And they're like freaking out. Like, all right, so here's what you're going to do. You're going to start on this end of the stables. When we say Pokemon time warp, you need to run as fast as you can to the other end of the stable. And then, so we did it. And then we did it again and again. And we weren't even rolling footage.
Right.
We were just sitting there just like holding the camera. These kids were running laps back and forth for like a half hour. We're like, No, that wasn't a good take. We got
it was more about just making each other laugh and just having a great time. And, you know, the kids, they were well taken care of, but it's not like it is now where they're number one.
I kind of remember like catching vibes of that when I was like a CIT. I feel like when I became CIT, I was like let in on this like secret of like, oh, the counselors have a good time.
Right.
You know, like, This is not just like a job or like you're taking care of kids or like whatever. It was like, no, we're a crew. This is really fun. We take care of kids a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
I remember like catching wind of that and it totally like flipping in my mind where it was like, oh, this was cool. This could get a whole lot cooler. That's when I was really like, there was no question of what my high school job was going to be. You know, I never even looked to be a stock boy at Market Basket or whatever, you know. It was like,
there are way more teachers there now than were before.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
So I wonder how that changes the dynamic. Like if the culture changes at all with that.
I don't know, Bill. I mean, have you noticed anything? I mean, I think it's I think
that's where it becomes more serious. You know, like why the kids are getting better care and why the kids are getting better attention. You know, is that there's actual teachers there and, you know, people that are capable of doing that. I was completely incapable of that at 16.
It's funny though, like from the perspective of the camper, I remember really appreciating the fact that the counselors were only a couple of years older than me.
Yeah.
You know, I really enjoyed that dynamic because I didn't really view them like they weren't the same age as my teachers during the school year. You know, this was a different thing. This was like I could aspire to be them, you know, in a very short amount of time. So there was something really I appreciated that dynamic of the assistants and the heads being like not far away from me in age. I think that really created a cool dynamic.
There's no one cooler than a camp counselor. No one.
Yeah.
Especially a teenage camp counselor. I don't know, you know, like what we're talking about here when you're talking about teachers, they may not come off as cool to the kids today.
Right.
As it was 20 years ago, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They have a kid there that works there that's phenomenal. He's probably the best counselor they've ever had there, to be honest. I'm not kidding. He is phenomenal. And they've given him his own area and his name is Ty and he has Ty time.
We as counselors, we were not educators. We were not teachers. We didn't know how that worked. You know, we just did our best to teach whatever activity we were like shoved into, and, you know, I think it was you know, it's like we figured it out together, and that's kind of what made it awesome.
I think it also made it awesome for the campers.
Yeah.
And the reason why I would say that is like, look at the retention rates. Think of how hard it is to get into that camp, yeah. right? It's like, if the kids weren't having fun, they wouldn't want to keep coming back.
No, right? they were having fun, but it's more like what Corey said, that they were having fun, but then the light went off when they became CITs, that the counselors were having more.
Well, it is like, you just wanted to be in the room with them, right? Like, it was like, oh, I get to hang out with this person who I like totally look up to, and we're going to do ceramics today, I guess. And, you know, like, that was it. But like, he'd ask for lesson plans at the beginning of the year. And I'm like, I don't know what that is.
maybe there was another way that the stable people fell under the radar. I presented no plans.
They asked me to do one year, and I just completely just made it a joke. They wanted like a list of maybe 15 video ideas that I was going to do. And I remember one of them, I wrote, Tom Cowell and Dick Clark, do these guys ever age? It was all stuff like that.
That's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, they got a real kick out of it. They didn't bother them. They didn't like come back and say like, this isn't what we were looking for. I think they just got there and laughed at it.
But I learned so much from Kim, and she was amazing. She was like a legit artist, and the camp was really lucky to have her during that stretch of time. I remember she made these like, she made a lot of coffee cups, and a lot of the coffee cups had these like really ornate, like beautiful handle. Like, it was just, she had these like dental tools. She had somehow gotten like tools from a dentist and used them to like do all these intricate carvings into all that. And it was just like really awesome. I do have so many, and I know the video people worked the hardest probably, because you guys would stay up and pull all nighters. But I do remember a lot of like, as a ceramics counselor, Kim teaching me that a lot of things are going to blow up in the kiln. And like, you know, do you really want to send kids home with nothing? And I remember really like taking that to heart and watching her like stay late after and gluing pieces back together, you know? And so I have all these like, I have all these memories of like staying late after ceramics, you know, staying late and like gluing pieces back together. And either Bill or Gail would come down and be like, oh, Corey, you're still here. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just gluing these pinch pots back together. And like, you know, you knew awesome. That you were going to give it to that kid. And if you had told him otherwise that, you know, oh, didn't make it, sorry, you know, didn't make it in the firing, you know, they'd have nothing to present to their parent, you know? So I have these like, even though their parents probably threw it out like 2 hours later, it was like, you know,
they do, but it's a big deal for them to present it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have these like memories, you know, having the wherewithal to like, you know, glue these pieces back together. And again, I owe that to Kim, because she was the one who was like, if you don't do this, like the kids are pretty devastated. So I'm sure she learned it by experience.
I think my heart explodes hearing you say that. I think that's the magic of like the tradition being passed down, right? Like, people care and they love the camp, and you take your job seriously. And it's like, you know, your assistant learns from you, right? Yeah. And so, Corey, that's an amazing story. It really is.
Yeah.
It's funny, you talk about video, you know, working hard. I never knew if people understood. Like, people thought the video job was like, oh, it's so fun. Oh my God, video was such a grind. Like, you know, Thursday night was always an all-nighter. Always. I remember we started timestamping our videos, you know, and it'd be like, at the end of the video, you would see it, you know, it would say like, whatever, the end, whatever. And there'd be a timestamp in the corner. It'd be like 5:38 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, I remember every Friday morning I'd walk up, Tom would look at me, he'd go, what time? That's all he would say to me. What time? And I'd have the video in my hand. I'd be like, 4:50. It's done. But he was always so cool about like, he'd be like, are you going to find time to be able to like take it? Like, he knew that I would like take a nap on Friday in the state, because, you know, there's nothing to do Friday in video. You're not shooting anything, you know?
So Friday was our easiest day. We, you know, generally just put on old videos or whatever, and we would just sit there all day anyway, and the periods were only a half an hour a piece, And we only had four of them because we always had that midday off, that mid period off. Yeah. So after that, it wasn't a hard day Friday. And I was always pretty jazzed to show the video. So I had some adrenaline pumping.
So when Greg Bell was my assistant when I was ahead my last year, we would take shifts, right? Where like, cause I started teaching Greg how to edit like on the Mac. And like, I would sleep for an hour. And then like, you know, either like my alarm would go off or he'd wake me up. He'd be like, oh, the video card crashed again. You know, like we would take turns like on who would sleep while the other person would edit.
That like early morning timestamp kind of became like a badge of honor. I think that started and that went on for a long time. Like I know that Tom Gomet did that a little bit because I remember seeing him like asleep at the studio.
He would take a picture.
Yeah, but it's definitely, I don't know if they're still doing it today. Well, I don't think they are because I don't think they do.
They do the video every 2 weeks now. They don't do one every week anymore.
It raises so many questions for me of like, what has changed? You know, like I haven't thought about FCDC, honestly, in 20 plus years, you know, like what, who's still there? Like Gail's there? Who's director now? I'm sorry, I don't know.
Sam has taken over the director position from his dad.
Oh, that's awesome, Sam. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool.
He's adopted a few things from his dad. Like he wears the feather in the hat. He ditched the suspenders and he wears like a fanny hat. Yeah. And that's where he keeps the candy for the kids. You know, remember the, you know, if you did something good, you got a Butterfinger. Yeah. He has a different, what does he have, Sarah?
He's got I heard it's a payday.
I feel like boating was, I kind of like wish that had been my head counseling experience. Boating.
Yeah. The best.
Boating was awesome.
The best.
That was epic. Yeah. I remember loving it as a camper. Mm-hmm. I remember when they got kayaks and it was like, ooh, kayaks, you know? And you used to fight over it as a camper. You'd be like, I called dibs on the kayak, you know? It's like, I don't want to be in that canoe.
Or banana like boats.
Yeah. But I feel like the boating counselors had a good time. Like they were, you know, you could get away with stuff, you know. I don't know. You could have fun.
When you had the older tribes, you were just hanging out in the sun, really.
Yeah.
They were the kids were out boating by themselves.
I remember that was like for the oatmeal contest, that was like one of the fun things that you looked forward to as a counselor and also as a camper, just watching, you know, it was like oatmeal contest, you knew the dunk was occurring. You knew that every single counselor was going to sprint to the dock, jump off, and all the campers were going to follow you and watch you because it's just like the most hilarious thing on earth for some reason.
But
I remember going in the river a lot, like after the oatmeal contest, or I forget the surge thing. What was that?
That was when, you know, if you did something bad throughout the summer, they would decide to just bring this character out that would put ketchup and mustard and relish and all these condiments all over you. You know, they'd sprinkle cornflakes. I mean, you were a mess.
I totally forgot about this. Yeah. And I can visualize it now. Oh yeah, that's amazing.
Like the last day of camp.
When I was a younger assistant counselor, you almost had to go in there if you either were in the oatmeal contest or if you got surged. There was no other option. You had to go in that water.